The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker, sponsored by Buoyancy PR, Joni Sullivan Baker, Dan Perkins, author, Don Greco, novels, Talk It, Dr. James Butler, smile artist, Bain's Chocolates, JMR Productions, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Vital, Champions of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker. We have an exciting guest who's been on my radio shows. His name is Dr. Alejandro Padilla, and he is probably one of the best top hand surgeons in the country, which I'm very excited about as well, because my whole family is in this wonderful area of medicine, and he has taken the time out of his really busy schedule to write Healthcare from the Trenches. You know, both Democrats and Republicans failed to address the shattered U.S. healthcare system, and we heard that on one of the debates, and I'm thinking to myself, they need to get their act together, absolutely. And so part of the reason why he's written this book is to have people wake up and smell the coffee and really understand that doctors really are the ones that should be in charge of our healthcare more so than the government. So I want to welcome you to our show today, Doctor. How are you?
I'm great, Kevin. Thank you. I'm terrific.
Well, you live in one of the nicest cities in the country, so, and I have a lot of friends there, so it makes it even nicer. You're in Miami, Florida, right?
I trained in New York City, and when I told people I wanted to practice in Miami eventually, partly because so I can use my Spanish, they all thought I was crazy. That Miami in the 80s was not so desirable, but now, yeah, now all the New Yorkers are flocking down here.
Well, I have to tell you something very interesting. My daughter actually had her own practice in New York. She's an occupational hand therapist as well. And the funny thing about it was she moved to New Orleans of all places. And she speaks Spanish very fluently. And I don't know if you know this or not, I used to live in Spain. So.
No, I did not know that. That's where my dad's family is from.
Yeah, I thought so with your name, Alejandro. And they speak Castilian, as you know. It's a beautiful language, and I loved it there.
No, so, it's not like my Cuban Spanish, that's right.
You know what? It doesn't make any difference. People understand you, and you really care about your patients. I don't know what to say. I've had my arm broken. I've had every kind of break you can imagine. So orthopedic surgeons are very important to me. What can I say? So tell me, tell us what drove you to actually physically, and how long did it take you to write the book that you wrote?
I wrote it simply out of frustration. What I experience every week in the office where I'm at now is these incredible hurdles and barriers that every clinician, whether it be a therapist or a physician or a mid-level provider, we all have to cross these hurdles in order to be able to deliver care to the patients. And if we could get rid of those hurdles, that would drive down cost. So I started writing this a year ago. And of course, with my schedule, it was hard to kind of move it along fast enough. And then all of a sudden, lockdown came. I had just gotten back from Australia from lecturing at a meeting in Melbourne. I barely made it out of Dodge. And when I got here, I said, you know what, I'm going to finish a book. So 12, 14 hours a day at home, I finished it, and we released it in early June.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's everyone should read it. Absolutely everyone should read it. And it's on my preferred list. I'm taking a break, Doc. I'm going down to the beach in Polly's Island. I can't wait to go. So I think all of us need that time. But, I think it's important to understand. I lived in England for almost 6 years. I've lived under national health care. I would like to see doctors create a new health care plan and get it out there, because I'll tell you what you guys have to go through is paperwork wise is crazy. Absolutely. Would you say that?
Yes. Well, and it's continued to just worsen every year. I mean, I've been in practice 25 years, and I mean, there were issues then, but it was manageable. But now it's almost completely unmanageable. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have a very unique practice. Being in Miami, about a third of my surgical cases fly in. Many from the Caribbean or Canada, or Canada, where they hit their socialized system.
Yes, I like medicine, right?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. So it's not so much. I didn't write this honestly for me. I wrote this because I really feel for the majority of my colleagues who are in, you know, more traditional practices and what they're going through, particularly the primary care physicians. I mean, it's just, I really don't know how they can cover their bills. And well, frankly, they can't. So what's happening is most of them are being hired. 85% of physicians coming out of medical school are hired. That means they're looking at their watch at 5 p.m. I don't think we want our doctors to be that way. Traditional private practice, you know, you can call your doctor answer from the answering service at midnight. It's a hard job, but we don't mind that. What we mind is the hurdles and the obstacles to be able to take care of our patients. And that's what we want to do away with. And that alone will decrease the cost so much that we'll actually have money left over to take care of the less fortunate. I mean, we need to have, you know, healthcare. You know, we should be able to take care of folks who are struggling, but our system is so bloated with bureaucracy and middlemen that suck money out of the system, that then, you know, we keep talking about the uninsured. That in a country as rich as ours, it's no problem to take care of the uninsured. There is money there.
Well, and that's what people don't understand it. And that's one of the reasons why, actually, that's the reason why I was on a healthcare committee when I first came back from overseas. And I have had every kind of medicine there is, believe me. And I'll tell you what, under national health care, they broke my jaw. I had no pain on getting a wart, or no anesthetic with a wart situation. I had to drive home with that hand. And so it was awful. And what people don't understand, that Obamacare was actually very expensive. And it was sad. So when I hear these politicians, especially the other Biden and Harris, I go, you really want to go to that? And that's pretty sad. I want doctors to control it. I want them to be part of it, because I think, in all honesty, doctor, that it's important for the people that know medicine. And I'm very lucky, by the way. My doctor takes time with me. And I've been in telemedicine. When telemedicine first came out, Doc, I was right there reporting it. And I thought it was the greatest thing since ice cream. Yeah. So, you know, having a doctor that really cares and that understands you and a patient and takes the time with that patient, I think is more important than anything else. So I applaud you for what you're doing. I can't believe what you guys go through. I've seen the paperwork that my daughter and my brother work on and doctors work on. And I think to myself, why are we doing this to ourselves? It doesn't make sense to me.
The therapist in particular, I have physical and occupational therapy across the hall from me, which, by the way, the concept of one-stop shopping for healthcare is also something that saves incredible amount of money and time. And yet we're not talking about that, but I can walk across. In fact, I did. I just walked across the hall. I saw a patient of mine who I did a shoulder arthroscopy on 48 hours ago. He's already there with the pulleys.
Love it.
2 days ago, all in one place. But when I look at a note that they're going to create for his visit, that note, I have to go to the last page, because the first four pages is all gobbledygook. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows that you have to document this stuff because you're jumping through hoops, because basically the insurance company says, you know, you have to document whether a person's a smoker or not. And there's all this things that are kind of irrelevant. So the notes don't make any sense. And they're templates. I mean, we all know that, you know, an orthopedic surgeon is not going to listen to your lungs and your heart. And yet right there on this stupid template, it's documented. You know, I'm amazed there hasn't been a legal challenge to this. And then they'd have to throw all of us in jail because none of us listen to the heart and lungs. My anesthesiologist will do that. But yet it's in my notes because they, you have to have that. Otherwise, you're not a level four visit. Who cares about a level four? I'm a hand surgeon. I'm taking care of a problem. Right. Let's bring common sense back to healthcare. And that's what we need to do. And I really wish my colleagues would be more vocal about it. I talk about that in a book in chapter four. We have to collaborate. We have to collaborate more because we're all experiencing the same thing. Most worse than me, as I mentioned.
Right, you ought to be my regular expert on my show, Doctor, because you're so good. I love it. So refreshing to talk to a doctor that really gets it. I have to tell you, a few years ago, I was in New York, and I fell in one of the theaters, and they had no lighting. That's another story in itself. But my daughter was seven rows ahead of me, and when I went to try to go to the bathroom, I fell into a pit. Okay, this is off-Broadway theater, right?
I
had to wait 30 minutes for her to come and rescue me and take me to the hospital. And thank God she was an occupational therapist, because guess what? She had to go in the rain to find a boot for me to wear to be in a hotel. It was awful. So
you weren't able to get that in the hospital?
Well, they gave me this little tiny boot, right? That I was on a business trip and I was right across from 9/11, right? And I was on the 24th floor or 23rd floor or whatever it was. And I had a business meeting the next day. I had to sit in a business chair moving myself around, right? If it wouldn't have been for her and that orthopedic surgeon, I would have made it through that whole trip. But she stayed with me, thank God, because it was a pretty bad break.
One of the things that people don't realize is when you go to the hospital, I mean, if, you know, say grandma has a hip fracture or you have a significant break like yours, then that can make sense. But the problem is most of the orthopedic stuff that we see are minor. And the minor stuff obviously is going to get pushed to the back, right? Because if somebody's coming with chest pain or an asthma attack or a hip fracture, that's going to be more important than an ankle sprain or even a minor ankle fracture. And the problem is that this is time, and time is money. And it doesn't make sense for a busy physician who's actually not even an orthopedist to be dealing with this. There really should be specialty walk-in centers. I co-founded a company called Ortho Now.
I love it.
Which we're trying to bring national. Yeah, and you know, things like that are sprouting up around the country, and it makes sense. It really makes sense because you want to really see the right person at the right time. And that will save money in healthcare in and of itself.
I have to tell you this because this is the funny part about it. Thank God she is an occupational therapist, but my brother is too. My husband was in Singapore, right? I flew home. My sister-in-law had to come and get me and bring me home, right? I couldn't walk stairs. And the funny part about it was my brother got me an appointment with the Beacon Orthopedics guys the next day,
right?
Which was unreal. But what if I wasn't? Didn't have relatives that did this? I'd be stuck.
Yes. In fact, I was speaking about that to my patient, who's really one of the pillars of international health insurance here in Miami. And he's the fellow I took care of. And he was talking the same thing. And they've given money to some of the hospitals. And even for him, it's difficult to navigate the process. So it's really not fair to the patients who don't have, you know, an in. You shouldn't have to have an in. You should be able to go to the right facility, see the right type of clinician, and get care efficiently. And not only is it good for healthcare in general, but it will lower the cost incredibly and will allow us to do all the things that we need to do for our system.
Right, especially to take care of patients. And, you know, it was one of the worst breaks you can have. It was in next to my little toe, and it was broken 3 times. It took 3 months, for it to heal, which, you know, which is hard for somebody like Energizer Bunny Catherine, right?
That's hard. Yeah, I know what it's like to be on crutches. I used to hop in the operating room. I had knee surgery years ago, and thank God for my colleague, Dr. Herrera's, and to me, the best knee surgeon in South Florida. And I was on crutches, so I know what that's like. When you get the right care and you know why you're doing something, why you have to be non-weight bearing, then it makes it easier. And that's the communication between the physician and the patient. And that's so critical. Not us staring at a screen typing in the data. That doesn't add anything to the equation.
Right. And I know that they, you know, whenever I see my doctor, and he's like, he was a musician. I went to listen to him before I found out that he was a doctor, right? You guys do all kinds of stuff, which I love. You're very creative, right? Right. So, yeah. And I fired my other doctor and went to him because he was the best.
Well, he's a good doctor and a musician. I talk about it in my book. I'm not a musician. One of my regrets in life, I'm trying to get my kids. My daughter started playing piano, but I was a ballroom dancer. I was a competitive ballroom dancer.
Really?
Yeah, in my teens. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Then I started playing rugby at Cornell, and you know, ballroom dancing and rugby don't go together. But now it's, you know, one of those things I want to go back to now as I hopefully
slow down. But the star still needs people.
Right. I'd have to train to be one of the teachers because I'm never going to be a star being a surgeon. But that is an interesting show.
Now, and I think we all need that creative talent. But on that note, I want to know where people can purchase your book and find out about your Ortho Now program. And that's really important because I need to take a short break.
Sure. So yeah, the book is on Amazon, obviously both Kindle and soft cover version. It's just type in Healthcare from the Trenches. They can also, an easy way is the website, Dr. Badia Book. So Dr. Badia, BADIA.com is my website. You can find a link to Ortho Now on there as well. But you'll also find a link to the book, or you can just go Dr. Badia Book. .com to make it easy.
We'll be right back with Dr. Alejandro Badia, and we'll be right back.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio, then you need to get Don Greco's books. He's a wonderful author that wrote the series, The Youngstown Quintet. His latest book is The Maladrin. And the nice thing about his books are they're not about spies. They're not about zombies. They're just ordinary people that read that have extraordinary lives. So visit DonGrecoNovels.com or go buy his books on Amazon.com.
Hi, this is Karen Sokolov-Javich, and I just became a grandma and wrote 17 songs for my new babies.
Splishy, splashy in the bathy. Splishy, splashy in the tub.
Share my smiling baby song album with your little ones.
You got 10 fingers in.
Order my baby album and you'll receive my children's album for free. Just call JMR Productions at 402-393-3893 for your special gift. That's 402-393-3893.
Buoyancy PR, telling your story, keeping your message afloat. Okay, enough about us. Let's talk about you. You have a great story to tell. Whether it's a product, a new book, or a worthy cause, you have a message worth hearing. Buoyancy PR will help you fine-tune that message and get it over the sea of information. Who, what, where, when, how, and why? These classic questions of a news story will introduce you to Buoyancy PR. And if you've had a chance to get acquainted, let us know what we can do for you. For more information, contact Joni Sullivan Baker at 513-319-3231 or go to buoyancypr.com.
One of the greatest barbecue sauces ever has landed in Cincinnati. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is a barbecue sauce like no other, and they have plenty of different flavors for every occasion. Be sure to try the Skip Kenny Spicy Barbecue Sauce, Skip Kenny Sweet Barbecue Sauce, and of course, the Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce with secret ingredients. If the sauce isn't enough for you, you'll love Skip Kenny's Barbecue Rub. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is available at Jungle Gyms in Fairfield and in Eastgate.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We are back with such an exciting guest. He makes me laugh because everything I've gone through and my life klutzy person that I am, I'm always seeing orthopedic surgeons. What can I tell you? But he is one of the coolest orthopedic surgeons that I have met. And one of the things is that he's got a wonderful new book. You want to tell him the title, Doctor?
Sure. Healthcare from the Trenches, which is an insider account of the complex barriers of U.S. healthcare from the providers and patients' perspective. So we have patients who weigh in. This is a book, and the patients will tell their story about how difficult it is to navigate receiving care. And obviously, us clinicians, whether it be occupational therapists like in your family, or physicians, or physician assistants, or nurses, all of us have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to be able to deliver care. And those hoops add time and cost to the entire process.
Let me ask you a question. Are you going to do a audiobook? Are you going to do another book since you're getting so good at this, or what? A cookbook!
You know, honestly, my first love is being a hand surgeon, upper limb surgeon. So I honestly want to focus on that. Some of these things I did honestly out of frustration and the need. I've been asked about the audiobook. I've also been asked about translating it in Spanish just because of where I'm at and so many of my colleagues in Latin America, they're all very interested. Because, you know, every country goes through this challenge, particularly when we're talking about health insurance, private insurance. I mean, certainly socialized systems have different problems, but the hurdles that we have to go through are really in both type of systems. So if we think going with Medicare for all or a socialized system, that it's going to resolve the problem. Quite the contrary.
And I will fight that tooth and nail because I don't want to go through that one again. And you pay for it sometimes even more. In England, where I was on socialized medicine, right? We also had private. A lot of the Brits got smart. A lot of the doctors in Britain said, wait a minute, we don't want to work under national health. We're going to start a private situation. Turkey, same way. In Spain a little bit, okay? But, you know, I think the best thing is to have a doctor-run medical program for all. That's what I think should happen.
At least we have to be critical in the dialogue. We understand that, obviously, the politicians, as we're seeing, and the bureaucrats and all of them are going to be involved in the process. Okay, but we have really been excluded from that dialogue, and it's completely absurd. I mean, could you imagine reforming our tort system, which we've talked about, right? I mean, the jury system, reforming that. Could you imagine having that dialogue with a group of doctors and not having lawyers in the discussion? That's exactly what they're doing with healthcare. And what amazes me is that nobody is calling them out on this.
That's right.
Including us doctors, we're not calling them out. That's one of the points I made in chapter 4. Which is called CAT. It's basically CAT's collaboration and colleagues. We need to collaborate.
You absolutely have to, because like I said, when I first came back from, I was actually in Turkey. And when I came back, I served on this board of insurance companies and a lot of other things and said, and I got very vocal. I said, you do not want, this is before Obamacare. I said, you do not want national health care. Believe me, it's painful and expensive. So I really believe that, and a lot of doctors in under those systems are not happy puppies at all.
No, they're not. But the patients aren't in many cases because you see that they'll come to a country like ours or Many will go, believe it or not, to the Middle East. A lot from France or England will go to, say, Dubai and get care there because it's private. There's a private component. And they do that. So if they're flying out of the country, that means they're having trouble accessing the care. There's no question about it.
And people really want that no matter what. That's one of the biggest things that I think is the most important thing in our country today, especially after this pandemic. We've all been through it. And it's tied a lot of healthcare workers as well as hands. And a lot of them are depressed and can't wait for this to end because of the burden it's put on all of you, which I want to thank you for your mission on that, especially through these times.
The ones who are in the hospital trenches, I mean, those are the ones I want to thank. I'm very fortunate. I mean, I'm an upper limb surgeon. I work completely. I haven't set foot in a hospital in 5 years. I do all of my surgeries down the hall where I do shoulder replacements. I think I have a collar bone fracture coming in. I would put a plate and screws outpatient. Patient goes home. So not only is there the infection risk well before COVID, I mean, many people have heard of MRSA. There are nosocomial or hospital acquired infections that have always been present. And granted, you can't have an open heart surgery in a facility like ours. But now we've been doing knee replacements and we're starting to do hip replacements outpatient. And they're in many parts of the country. And that is extremely cost effective. And now patients want to avoid the hospital due to COVID for obvious reasons. But well before COVID, the hospital is not necessarily the place to go for more routine orthopedic problems.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I believe that it's so important to be able to do what you're doing now. And I love the Ortho Now. I think that's one of the coolest things ever. And where are you right now with Ortho Now? Are you in Miami and where else?
Yeah, we have three centers in Miami. We had two in Georgia, but it was a franchise at one point. We even were supposed to put them all over Michigan, but the franchise law is really onerous. In fact, it works completely against the franchisor. So we backpedaled and we said, we're not going to be a franchise. It's not about flipping burgers. This is healthcare. And so franchises don't really work. So we have a licensing system, but really what we're looking for is a big strategic partner. And you can think of some of the big companies, I don't want to mention names, but the big, big companies that are trying to get into healthcare. We would love to partner with them because we've figured this out. What we need is the capital and the manpower and the Rolodex, right, to be able to expand. So that's what we're looking to do.
Right. And that's basically the area I've been in for many years in licensing and franchising, by the way, just to let you know.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
There are two things I want to plug. You mentioned about other systems. One is The Healing of America by T.R. Reid. He's a best-selling investigative journalist. T.R. Reid, the Healing of America, he goes to 9 different countries for shoulder problem. He has an arthritic shoulder. And it's fascinating as he compares the countries. The other one is written by a colleague of mine, also Cuban-American, also an orthopedic surgeon. Although I'm not a lawyer like him, I'm not a legislator. He was in the Florida State Congress. He was a military surgeon. So, one of our friends. And this guy's a Renaissance man. And Julio Gonzalez wrote a book called The Case for Free Market Healthcare. So I reference that a lot in my book, particularly the role of government to not be too intrusive in healthcare. And he lines up very, very, very clear reasons. And I would highly recommend that. That book's a shorter read than mine, but it's a little drier because it really goes into a lot of statistics. And it's a tremendous book.
Well, I'm using your healthcare book as a reference guide and a few other things, because I think people need to see and understand what is going on in our country and also you fighting for it. And it's great to see someone like yourself that really cares about patients and wants to change what's happening and how to get the care you need. And I think that's so important.
But it, you know, it comes, it really is going to come from the grassroots, from the patients. I mean, look at what's happening in terms of, you know, racial injustice or the amount of mobilization of some people, you know, often in the wrong way. Let's be candid, in the wrong way. But if we could get that kind of passion about healthcare, I mean, it's amazing to me when people get these, you know, bills from their insurance company or lack of payment, to the people, and that nobody seems to get upset. I'm thinking, well, where is the passion there? This is 20% of our GDP. And what is actually more important than healthcare? I mean, I understand some, you know, there are some bad cops out there, right? I mean, that's like any profession, and there are bad doctors, but the majority of the clinicians really care about the patients. And where is the passion from the public about this issue? We're going to surpass 20% of our gross domestic product is going to be healthcare. That's twice as much as Norway, which is the second country on the list. Right. There's something wrong here. And so I don't know how bad it has to get for people to really care. And I appreciate your having me on this show because, you know, it shows you care. And I think your listeners will care.
Not only my listeners, but my television audience, because we're all over the world, just to let you know, Dr. Padilla, on our TV shows.
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
No, I did not.
And I'm very passionate about healthcare, extremely passionate. I think the older I get, and I really care about seniors. They're the ones that have the toughest time. And, you know, I look at every bill. And I'm watching Medicare because a lot of times I have to go out of that system to get what I need. And or they give me too many tests and I freak out.
Well, important for your younger viewers to realize that we're all going to be there. You know, some of us sooner than others. Yeah. And we are all consumers of healthcare, whether it be, you know, little Johnny who hurts himself on a soccer field to the grandma who you know, needs a joint replacement. I mean, I'm only referencing orthopedics, but obviously everything else. And we have to care about this. And I'm just amazed that there hasn't been. I mean, even in the debates, you see it. The healthcare is talked about in a cursory fashion. It needs a real overhaul. And the physicians need to be involved in that process.
I agree. I think that you should be part of the system to get it done. I think that, you know, years ago when telehealth came on board, I told you I was one of the first people. I went to one of the conferences and interviewed these guys. And today, telehealth has become this major thing. I used to have stock in the company. And that's the sad part. I don't anymore, which is sad. But,
well, went from 15% utilization by physicians. I was one of those. I've been using Zoom Health for about 7 years, and there's a product called Ortho Live. We use that for Ortho Now. Ortho Now, we use Ortho Live, so it's very focused on orthopedics. And the users, physicians, have gone from 15 to 85%. And that was something I read a few months ago, so I bet you it's well over 90% now. And it's here to stay, and actually it's a good thing.
Because you reach out, touch your doctor, in essence. He can see what you look like. Can see what your hand looks like or your shoulder looks like, right? And it makes it a lot easier. But now the Ortho Now, are they connected to your offices? Are they, tell me about that.
Yeah, so my practice is, this is my logo with the man, you know, because I'm the entire upper limb. So I'm a hand surgeon, but I do hand, elbow, shoulder, and that. My practice is called Badia Hand to Shoulder Center, but that's separate from Ortho Now, which is a walk-in clinic, which may be hand, but it could be ankle, back, and that the flagship is upstairs in the same building, upstairs actually from the operating rooms, which is can be very practical sometimes. And then there's two more in Miami. And as I said, we're looking to go national. So any sort of healthcare entrepreneurs out there, please reach out to us because we really need to find the right strategic partner. This is the next wave. So in this building, there's different components, all focused on orthopedic care.
I can't thank you enough, Doctor, for coming on our television show today. And we'll also make this into a radio show, too, so you get a bang for your buck. What can I tell you?
Any way to inform people? As you mentioned yourself, there's a lot of these points made in the book. So, it's never going to be like a Grisham novel, but if we could get enough people reading this, maybe they'll be discussing this with their congressmen or their neighbors and their local community leaders and say, look, let's look at how we're delivering the healthcare. We have some of the best healthcare in the world here, right? People come from all over the world to the Mayo Clinic or to Hopkins or to MD Anderson for cancer. But the system itself, even in those places, it can be very, very cumbersome. And that's what we need to change.
Well, after the show, I'd like to say a couple of things too, if you don't mind. So we need to wrap it up today. And I want to invite you back because you are so exciting to talk to. And I know that you've got so much information that you want to relay to our listeners and also our viewers. And there's a lot of viewers in our system. So I want to thank you for your mission and what you're doing. Give the name of the book, your website, and where people can purchase the book, Doctor.
Yeah, so Healthcare from the Trenches, available on Amazon in both Kindle and soft cover versions. The website, the Dr. Badia book, is an easy one if you want to learn more. There's actually videos about each chapter. I'm still actually doing them. I'm on chapter 7 now, so there's a short video, and that's drbadiabook.com or even healthcarefromthetrenches.com. It's a mouthful, so that's why we did a shortened URL. And the book is there, and we welcome your feedback. We welcome your feedback. If you read the Amazon reviews, I think you'll get a good sense of what people are saying about the book, both on a patient level and fellow clinicians who put Amazon reviews in there. And I think you'll get a good sense of the book.
And I want to thank you for joining us today, and we'll be right back.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
If America will be saved, veterans will save her. If America will be saved, veterans in defense of liberty will save her. Today, we are engaged in a genuine battle for the heart and soul of America. Do you believe that our oath and our obligation to our country continues until the day of our death? That America and the future of humanity is worth saving? If so, and you are a veteran or a staunch supporter, join Veterans in Defense of Liberty, which is first and foremost a brotherhood, sisterhood of veterans fully dedicated to maintaining the integrity of our republic based on the correct moral and constitutional principles. Visit us on Facebook and go to vidolamerica.org. vidolamerica.org.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it for no additional cost. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web today by calling 513-942-7869. Or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker. Do you get a headache or a flushed face when you have a glass of wine? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of sulfites and tannins, which are preservatives in wine. Well, I found a product that reduces both the sulfites and tannins, and it's made in the USA. It's called Drop It. It's really simple. You just put a couple of drops in your glass and swirl it around, and guess what? It doesn't change the flavor of the wine, and no more headaches. And it's 100% natural. Go to their website to order at dropitwine.com for no more headaches.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Our expert, Dr. James Butler, is the original smile artist. As one of the most recognized implant and mini implant specialists in Ohio, Dr. Butler at Innovative Dental Implants, or IDI, has perfected the art of dental implants while keeping the price affordable. If you're one of the thousands who need an implant for any reason, Dr. Butler can provide just what you need. He's been on many extreme makeover programs, and he's an expert on Let's Just Talk. When looking for an affordable implant at a fair price, call IDI at 614-529-0062 or visit us at IDISmile.com.
Did you know that memory loss now affects almost 7 million people in America? And the Alzheimer's Research Foundation estimates that by the year 2050, there will be 50 million people with dementia in America. Are you preparing your family, especially your grandchildren, for this issue? This is Dan Perkins, and I'm the author of a new book for children ages 9 to 12 and their families to help them understand that it's not their fault when Grammy can't remember them. Why Can't Grammy Remember Me is available at Amazon or through your local bookseller. Don't make your grandchildren part of the lost generation.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Riker on W4CY.
This is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. There's a new study that offers hope for under-recognized public health crisis, breakthrough advancements in the fight against kidney disease. Our guest today is Dr. Robert Lookstein, the Executive Vice Chairman, Department of Diagnostic Molecular Interventional Radiology at Mount Sinai Health System. You know, nearly 500,000 people in the U.S. receive dialysis for kidney failure, a life-sustaining therapy that cleans the blood in place of the kidney. But in addition to visiting their dialysis clinic several times a week for treatment, many patients also require other procedures to ensure they can continue receiving this critical therapy. Unfortunately, this means visiting the hospital where dialysis patients are at a greater risk for infection like COVID-19. But fortunately, there are now ways to reduce dialysis interruptions and ultimately hospital visits, which is especially important amid the current global pandemic. Dr. Robert Lookstein will discuss what this means for patients, including highlights from a new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. I want to welcome you to our show, Doctor, and both my brother and my aunt both were on dialysis, and so I know exactly what this is all about, which is so important. Welcome to our show, by the way.
Catherine, thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Well, this is so important. I can't tell people how important it is. Can you tell us why do people need dialysis and what is dialysis like for patients?
Sure. Thank you for the question. So as you mentioned, 500,000 U.S. citizens have kidney failure, also known as end-stage renal disease. And while the only known cure right now for that is a kidney transplant, we unfortunately don't have enough organs available for the need in the United States. Patients who cannot get a kidney transplant need to have hemodialysis, typically, which is a process where a patient is essentially attached through an IV to an artificial kidney machine. The kidney machine draws out a patient's blood, filters it, removes all the toxins, and then transfuses it back into the patient. This process, unfortunately, takes several hours a day and needs to occur multiple days a week to clean the blood adequately, to make sure the patients feel well, to make sure that they have a sense of quality of life, and to maintain their overall health. So it really does become a huge part of a patient's life as they move forward.
And I know that there, because I used to work with the Kidney Foundation and other companies like NextStage that actually did kidney dialysis right in your home. You can even do it overnight. There's lots of different ways that they can do it. But this study that we're talking about, tell us more about the study and what it means for patients that have to go through this every day or every three times a week. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, sometimes just having the dialysis, just being attached to the artificial kidney machine, isn't all that the patients are subjected to. Sometimes the blood vessels that allow the patients to be hooked up to the kidney machine become blocked. It's essentially like plumbing, and you know, anybody who's a plumber or who has a background in plumbing knows that, you know, pipes can become blocked. When they become blocked, the patients can't get adequate hemodialysis. their blood can't be adequately cleared. And then unfortunately, the patients are told they need to go to the hospital or they need to go to an ambulatory surgery center to have a minimally invasive procedure to fix the blockage. And for patients that have these blockages, unfortunately, they can require these kinds of procedures unanticipated several times a year. So the research that we just got published in the New England Journal of Medicine looked at the historic treatment for these blockages in the dialysis access, which was just standard balloon angioplasty, very similar to any of your friends or family members who've had angioplasty in the heart, typically to treat a heart attack. And it compared that treatment to a brand new technology. The new technology puts a special medicine on the balloon. It's also referred to as drug-coated balloon angioplasty. And what we did was we randomized patients within the United States, Japan, and New Zealand to either undergo repair of the blocked dialysis access with standard balloon angioplasty or drug-coated balloon angioplasty. The results were quite profound or striking, favoring the drug-coated balloon angioplasty. Specifically, what we found was a 20% benefit in patency at the area where the access was blocked. We found a 25% improvement in the overall function of the dialysis access and a 56% reduction in the need for subsequent procedures to fix the blockage in those patients that were treated with a drug-coated balloon angioplasty. As a vascular specialist, I can tell you we see these results, and I view this as a true game changer to help patients with end-stage renal disease who require hemodialysis. The fact that we can keep them out of the hospital, improve their overall quality of life, and give them the confidence and the certainty to get uninterrupted hemodialysis, it's just a win-win for everybody involved with their care.
Can I ask this one question about how often would this actually allow them not to have it that often? In other words,
sure. So,
they go in
Have
it done, right, instead of having it done twice a year or three times a year or whatever, this will help them be able to deal with it. Because I know that my brother went in with kidney failure, and thank God they saved him for quite a while, maybe 2 or 3 years, but it was so hard on him. And it was hard on my aunt too, who decided not to even have it anymore and just, you know, go ahead and die. And people just don't realize how tough it is on kidney with kidney dialysis. Right, doctor?
Absolutely. I'm very sorry for your loss. And you obviously understand how devastating this diagnosis can be for not only the patient, but for their entire family. So what we found with this research is that, again, it dramatically reduces the likelihood that a patient requires a subsequent procedure. When we follow these patients out to 1 year follow-up, and we've presented this data publicly, is that we find with very high confidence we can eliminate one repeat procedure out of that patient's course for the entire year. And I think you would understand better than most that just having that confidence to know that they don't need an extra visit to the hospital or an extra unplanned surgery is such a boon to their quality of life. It really, again, just is a huge improvement of what they're accustomed to, which is the uncertainty of requiring these unanticipated surgeries.
Where can people get more information, doctor, about the study and if they have any questions?
Again, thank you for the question. The publication I just referenced in the New England Journal of Medicine was sponsored by Medtronic, which manufactures this drug-coated balloon. So anybody who's a patient, anybody who has a family member who's a patient, or anybody who's a healthcare provider who takes care of these patients can log into medtronic.com/dialysis to find out more about this brand new technology.
I can't thank you enough for what you're doing, Doctor, and your mission. I mean, this is so important. This is really a big, important situation for kidney dialysis patients and their families. It really will change things. Thank you so much for joining us. And that's Medtronic.com/dialysis. And thank you again for joining us today on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. Thank you, Doctor.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker, sponsored by Buoyancy PR, Joni Sullivan Baker, Dan Perkins, author, Don Greco, novels, Drop It, Dr. James Butler, smile artist, Bain's Chocolates, JMR Productions, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Vital, Champions of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.